All right, we have been preaching a series called You Have a Gift now for a few weeks. And if this is your first time jumping in on the series, I'll try to make sure and fill you in a little bit, make sure you get the basics. But we want to kind of continue and wrap it up. You have a gift. We've been talking about the fact that God created you, gave you gifts. And we want you to know and understand that each and every person is gifted in some way. That means you. And maybe when you were growing up, you didn't hear it. Maybe nobody told you you're gifted or you have a gift. Maybe you heard, can't you do it better? Can't you do more? But I want to encourage you that you definitely do have a gift. And so we've looked at those aspects last few weeks, but today specifically, I want to look at the fact that you have a gift, now you need to know what to do with it. So we're going to answer the question, what do I do with my gift? So today specifically, I want you to own the fact that you have a gift. You own the fact by no longer saying you have a gift, but saying I have a gift, all right? You have a gift. So what do I do? Gift. I recognize this week, yes, I have a gift. Yes, I know God created me. I believe that. So now what do I do with it? The first thing you need to do is activate your gift or bring it to life. Another way of putting it would be open it. When you get a gift given to you, what's the first thing you do with it? You open it. Christmas isn't that far past. I know some are already counting the days. Next one. But anyhow, I hope not. But you get the point. You got gifts, you opened it. So you've been given gifts, you open it. I think of the gifts that God has given and how he wants us to open them. So you open your gift, you activate it, and the first thing you do to do that is you acknowledge it or speak it. You speak what your gift is, you give it, and you speak it to other people. And thirdly, you're going to get prayer for that gift. So let me read some scripture. Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So when you speak something, you can give life to it, or you can bring death to it. So when you begin to speak about your gift, and you speak about it the way God wants, you actually cause it to have life. What do I mean by that? If you know you have a gift and you're like, okay, I believe I have a gift of encouragement. You speak that, it brings life to it. But if you speak, I don't have any gifts. I just mess everything up. You're speaking death to your gift. Speaking death to your gift will, in effect, kill it. Your words matter, especially for you. I've met people, they'll say the right things when others are around, but when they're by themselves, speaking about themselves, they're negative. They're like mean. They are mean to themselves. I hope you're not mean to yourself. I hope you don't run yourself down. Think about it for a minute. The way you talk to yourself, would you talk that way to your boss or your best friend? If you're like, yeah, I would, then you're doing all right. If you're like, oh, no, I'd never say those things to them. They'd hate me. Then why are you saying it to yourself? Don't. Instead, declare the good things that God has put in. Don't ever say, I'm ugly. Don't ever say, oh, I'm too this, I'm too skinny, or I'm too fat, or I'm too tall, or I'm too short. Did you know you can't change being tall or short? Well, okay, you can wear really big high heels and get a little taller, you know, but you can't change how God created you, so why would you run yourself down? Instead, build yourself up, speak into your gifts. So, you know what your gift is? Speak into it. Declare it. Call it forth. Bring life to it. Speak it to yourself, and the second step after you've been able to speak it to yourself, speak it out to somebody else. I have found out that you will never use your gift if you can't even speak it to yourself and then to someone else. Because if you're too ashamed or too afraid to speak it to someone else, you'll never use it for someone else. Does that make sense? So if you're like, well, I'm too shy, I just don't know, start speaking it out loud every day to yourself and then try speaking it to a good friend who won't laugh at you. Okay? Don't go to the person that's always negative just because you know they're going to put you down, but speak it to a friend, and then I believe God will do great things. Let me read this scripture, Matthew 10, 27. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. You see, Jesus was telling his followers, I'm going to tell you things and you're going to get them, you're going to understand them, and then the time will come where you need to tell others. This is the same with your gift. There's a time when it needs to be spoken to others. What your gift is meant to help others, and it's meant to be used. Gifts are not meant to stand alone. But let me go one more thing about the activating of gifts. So you speak it to others. One more point on activating the gift or bringing it to life. Pray for God's blessing and anointing on your gifts. This allows God's power to work through your gifts. You can get other believers to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. I encourage people, if you know you have a gift, ask somebody who's a strong believer to pray over you and ask for God's anointing on the gift. The reason you do that is because your gift is great. It can do great things. But when you ask God's presence to work through your gift, it's a whole nother level. Now supernatural things can happen through your gift. Now things that will blow your mind can happen because you've invited God to work through your gift. Okay? So you guys remember King David. He was anointed for what would come next in his life before it ever came. The key about activating and opening that gift and getting prayer over it, it sets you up for what God has in the future for your gift. So get prayer for your gift. I would say even if you've been working in a gift for a while, but you've never had prayer for his presence and anointing on it, get prayer for that. You can do that at your life group. You can do that with your family. Have a family member pray. You can have a pastor pray, but you don't have to. But get prayer for your gift. All right, so that's what activates it. Prayer activates it supernaturally. You speaking it out activates it naturally. Number two, what do I do with my gift? You've activated it. You've opened it. Now you need to practice or use it. A gift that is just put on the shelf is of no use. It must be used to actually be a gift that makes a difference. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul is talking to Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. You've got to use the gift. If you're given a gift and you don't use it, it can be what happens in this case. You see, Timothy, Paul had prayed for him. He had prayed for God's anointing and the gift for leadership, most likely. They don't tell us exactly in that verse, but we know that Timothy was called to lead other people. He was a minister, but that gift was there. It had been prayed for. There was God's presence on it. And yet Paul says those words, stir it up, it says in some verses. How many have done campfires in the winter? I mean, that's the best. You know, warm up. Well, you know what happens with a campfire if you build it and then do nothing with it. What happens? It goes out. You have to add more wood. You have to, if you're going really down to the coals, you're going to have to add some little kindling, start small, and you're going to have to get, and when you do that, it begins to burn again. And then you got to add another log. You want that campfire to keep going, you have to regularly add wood to it. It's the same with your gift. If you don't use it, if you don't use it regularly, the fire dies low. Suddenly you're not quite so passionate about it. Suddenly you're like, well, you know, I'll just play my guitar once a week. Maybe once a month. I think I forgot for 3 months. Suddenly the passion for your gift leaves. I use music a lot because it's easy to visualize, but this goes for any kind of gift. Maybe you have a gift of generosity and helping people who are hurting. If you don't do it regularly, the passion will leave. If you don't use your gift regularly, it dies down, and yes, it can go out. If you've ever met someone years ago and you're like, man, they are just like fired up for this purpose they're doing, you meet them later and they could care less. What happened? They stopped doing it. They got lazy, they got tired, they got hurt, but they stopped doing it and the fire goes out. Use your gift regularly. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used. Everybody say used. In the service of others, so use your gift well. You see, when you use the gifts God has given you to help others, you actually become a gift of Jesus to them. Isn't that amazing? When you use his gifts to help somebody else, suddenly the Lord Jesus is making you the gift to them. That's pretty cool. You become the representative of Jesus here on earth. Use your gift well. Use it for the Lord. Become the gift. You see, the more you use your gift, the more skilled and effective you become with it. You see, no gift immediately when you start it, are you excellent with it? Again, using instruments. Anybody who's ever tried playing a guitar, the first chord you ever played on a guitar sounded like, blunk, 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 blunk. And you're like, I quit. Maybe it sounded worse than that. Well, if you know that you have a passion for music, then you continue and you work with the gift. And you continue it. It's the same with any other gift. I remember hearing a story about a well-known preacher many, many years ago. And he knew he had a gift to preach, and he wanted to preach, so he would practice preaching. And he would practice out by the creek. In the back of the little community, he would go out to the creek, and he would preach. And he would practice his verses, and he would practice telling people, you know, you need to come to the Lord. And he'd be trees and be preaching, you know, the Lord is coming soon. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sins. And he was practicing. And he did it over and over. And one time he was down there and there was a squirrel. And the squirrel came up on a stump. And he was like, finally, I have a congregation. Boy, he preached to that squirrel. And then the squirrel actually ran away. And he got to the end of his message. He was like, if you need prayer, come. And all of a sudden, a gentleman stumbles up from the creek, and he has tears in his eyes. He's the town alcoholic, and he was sleeping at the creek. And he says, okay, okay, I repent. I want to serve Jesus. All that practice, he would later become a well-known preacher all the time, but what happened? He knew he had a gift, and he began to practice it. He began to use it. You see, if God's given you a gift, you aren't suddenly going to go from I never use it to you're famous on the internet. You're going to have to use it and practice it well. King David, we know he was a very skilled musician. Does anybody know how many, if you were here last night, don't answer. Does anybody know how many times a day King David would praise? Most of us know that he prayed three times a day. But let me read a scripture how often he praised the Lord with his gift. Psalm 119, 161. Rulers oppress me without cause, but my heart honors what you've said. I'm overjoyed at your word, like someone who finds great treasure. I absolutely despise what is false, but I'm in love with your instruction. I praise you seven times a day for your righteous rule. Seven times a day? Are you serious? No wonder he was so skilled. No wonder he wrote how many psalms in the book of Psalms. No wonder he was so gifted that when they called him from looking after sheep, they put him in front of a possessed king, and when he played, the demons left. Because he did it often. He did it all the time. I don't know about you, but seven times a day seems a little much to me. I was trying to figure that out. Well, what if I'm like, I like guitar and I was going to play my guitar seven times a day? You'd have to do it when you wake up, to do it at breakfast, then you'd have to do it at coffee break, then lunch, then the next coffee break, then supper, and then when you go to bed. Seven times is a lot of times. 7 times a day. So guess what? If you really want God to move through your gift and use you in your gifting, you're going to have to do it often, even when others aren't listening. Worship people who get up and the anointing flows through them, guaranteed they worship alone at home with everything they've got first. You can't just show up and get up on a platform and start to move through you if you haven't been doing it all the time. It's not how it works. People who on the welcome team are smiling and happy, and when you see them, you just feel so welcome and so good. Guaranteed, that person is like that all week. They're not yelling at people during the week and pushing people aside and getting mad at the grocery store and then showing up on Sunday and be like, "Welcome, we're so glad you're here." That's how they are all week. They practice their gift. They've gotten good at encouraging people and making them feel welcome. So what is your gift? Are you doing it often? You see, as a musician, if you want your gift to be flowing and you want it to be touching people in the heart of God, you'll have to do it often. If you neglect it and just show up and try to hop on the platform and make it work, it'll fail. And eventually you'll be like, "Oh, I don't even like doing this anymore." Your passion has been lost. You know how you get passion back? Stoke the fire. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. If you're someone who you used to love to pray, and you would pray often, but you've lost it, start again. Start a brand new fire if it's completely gone out. Starting a brand new fire takes a little effort, a little time, but you can do it. Just get that devotional. Just use the little prayer they have at first if that's what you need to do, and make it every single day. You see, David had a gift of music and was skilled because he did it often. And something I've found out, by the way, in case you're wondering, when God gives you a gift, the greater the gift, often the more time and preparation before it comes to revelation or before it's something that everybody gets to see. What do I mean by that? Let's use those Lego flowers. You know, you can get the one Lego flower. It'll take you maybe half an hour to put together. Or you can get the dozen roses with it, and it's going to take you hours and hours to get it to where it needs to be presentable. The greater the gift, the more effort. Has anybody ever bought a large piece of furniture from IKEA? Lord have mercy. You become a skilled craftsman before you're done. Just don't turn that thing too tight or it breaks and you can't get another piece. But anyhow, done that. You get the picture. The larger, the bigger the thing is that's going to happen takes more time, more prep, more effort. So I want to encourage you today, if you've been like, "Well, I know I have a gift, but why is it taking so long?" Maybe God has something really amazing that he wants to do with your gift. Don't quit. Keep keeping on. Listen to Proverbs 18:16. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. So this is a proverb saying that a gift can open a door for you. A gift can bring you into the presence of other people. Now, I want to just explain that this can be an actual gift where you just feel, "I want to bless somebody, I want to be generous," and it's an actual gift. This can also be the gifts that you possess. Again, like King David with his great gift ended up in the king's court using it. So with this gift, I also want to make it clear to you, when you have a gift and you use it, a gift is different than a bribe. Some people use this verse and think, "Well, if I give someone a gift, then I'll get what I want." That's the definition of a bribe, and Scripture has a lot to say about that bribes are wrong, okay? You don't give to get something. The minute you're giving to get something, you've changed it from a gift to a bribe. So let's take the picture of a birthday party. Let's say your 9-year-old son's birthday, you bring him a bike for a gift. You give him that bike, that's a gift. Now, if it was a bribe and you're like, "I'm going to give my 9-year-old son this bike So he likes me better than his mother. And so whenever I ask him to do something for me, he'll do it. You just changed the gift to a bribe because you attached strings to it. You attached, this has to happen when I give it to you. Now, in adult world, that happens as well. But it shouldn't. Did you know it even can happen in church world? I'm going to say, you know, I've seen this happen long ago, I'm going to say, and it's nobody here, okay? But did you know that sometimes people can be like, well, I'm going to give to the church, but they attach strings to it, and well, I'm going to give a lot. Now when I show up and ask something, the pastor better say yes. That's not a gift, that's a bribe. And you can't bribe the pastor. Or how about, well, I'm going to give a lot, but if you don't do what I want, then I'm not going to give anymore. That's a bribe. You're giving, you just threw it under the bus. You just made it so that your giving no longer has the effect God wanted. You switched it to a bribe. You took his blessing off it, and now you just wasted. You see, a gift just says, I love you. I love what God's doing. Here it is. Do what you want with it. Have you ever felt God prompt you to give to somebody who's struggling? When it's a gift and you give to someone who's struggling, you give it, and you know what? You just give it and say, Lord, use it for them. And if you find out 2 days later that they went and wasted their money at such and such place and you're all upset about it, what? It wasn't yours the minute you left, the minute you gave it away. You don't give a gift and then expect certain actions. When God tells you to give, you just give. Give gifts. When you're that kind of giver, God will open doors for you. Guaranteed. When you're that kind of giver with no strings attached, he will bring you into the presence of great people. Because if you can give with no strings attached, if you are a generous person, I guarantee God is going to take you places. Because if you've mastered and you've overcome the temptation or the desire to use your stuff for power or control, you are a person God's going to make great. Don't ever lend your truck or your tools expecting something in return. Oh man, now we just got tools? Come on, Pastor. Don't talk about tools. I'm going to say this because this is something God taught us early on with family. Sometimes family might be in need and they need your help. I found out if family asks to borrow money, I always say, no, we can't lend, but if we have it, we'll give it and you don't have to return it. We don't want it back. When you lend expecting back by a certain day and it doesn't happen, guess what? You're upset. But that also means that you have to have the ability to say no when you don't have extra money to give. All right, that's just a little tip. It's way better to be generous, no strings attached. But that's good to know. So if I give you a gift, you don't have to worry in the week, I wonder what he wants. What's he going to ask me to do? No, if we give free. The Lord's just bringing to my mind that sometimes this happens in relationships. It should also be freely given in relationships. Don't buy your wife a new outfit because you're expecting something in return. Don't cook your husband a nice meal because, you know, you want him to renovate the whole house tomorrow. Freely give. I don't expect anything in return. I want to bless my spouse. In relationship, bless without expecting something in return. You will be way happier. And so will your spouse. Okay, enough of that. The third point. If your gift is activated, you're using it often, then the next thing you need to do with your gift is multiply it. And of course, we did an entire series at the beginning of the year that it's a year of multiplication. You multiply your gifts when you show others how to do what you do, when you give them the authority and opportunity to use those gifts. I had a young man, I won't say names, but they were telling me about their company, how they have somebody else in the company now who does some of the things they used to do. Well, that's called multiplying. You multiplied yourself by giving someone else opportunity and authority to do what you did, and then giving them guidance and tips of how you do it. That's multiplying. This works at every level with any gift. And I'll tell you this, the only reason you wouldn't multiply your gift is if you were wanting job security. It happens at workplaces sometimes. Now don't tell the new guy how we do it, because he might take my job. Or you're selfish. Dad just went quiet. I don't want other people to know how to play guitar like me. I don't want other people to know how to drum like I do. Because then, you know, the light wouldn't all be on me. No. Multiply your gifts. When you multiply your gifts, just like that generous person, God lifts you up. God opens doors, and God has great things for you. I encourage people, if you know that, let's go back to a welcome team person. If you're doing welcome team and you're like, you know, I know somebody who'd be really good at this. I have a friend and I want to bring them to join me so I can show them what I do. And when you do, you multiply the gift. Why not? Why would we not multiply our gifts? John has a construction business. He can only do so much building by himself. But if he finds someone else who can build like him and he can show them all the things he knows, now he can get twice as much done. Did you know there's a saying, when you work alone, you can get a certain amount done. When you work with somebody with you, you can get at least three times as much done. It multiplies. It doesn't just double what can get done. Now that's, of course, assuming you do it well. I can remember one time at work, I was in construction years ago before I was preaching up here, and I remember I got replaced by a nail. They're like, how did that happen? You know, you got to cut boards and you got to do stuff and you put the chalk line out. I was on the end of the chalk line all the time. Finally, the guy figured out you can put a nail in and put your chalk line on. I can go do something else. I technically got replaced by nail. But anyhow, let's multiply our gift and let's multiply it well, whatever that gift is. You see, Jesus showed his followers how to do what he did and then he sent them out. Matthew 10, verse 5, he sends out the 12. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Jesus freely showed them how to do the same things he did, and he gave them authority and gave them opportunity. They all have to go together. Show how, give opportunity, and give authority. Jesus did it again with 72, Luke 10, verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. I often thought about this. We know the 12 were with him all the time. The 72 must have been a little farther out and not always with him, but yet he still showed them enough and then gave them the authority and the opportunity. Who are you showing to do what you do and then giving them opportunity and authority? Why does authority matter? Well, then the work thing, if you show someone how to do what you do, but you don't give them the authority or the say that they can go ahead and do it, they just know how to do it. But when you give someone the authority, what you're saying is, you're going to do it, you're going to be in charge, do your best. If you make a mistake, that's okay. I'm giving you opportunity and I'm giving you authority to do it well. That's how people learn and grow. If you give someone authority and then they make a mistake and you take it back, they're not going to grow. So give opportunity. Show how, give opportunity, give authority. Church, if you're in a position, and I'm going to bring this, because sometimes people get tired with what they're doing. Maybe you're using your gift and you're like, boy, I've been doing this for a long time. I think I'm going to try something new or do something else. That is often God speaking. He's saying, hey, give someone else, multiply, show someone else how to do it, and then move on to something new. Never should we just drop things and, oh, well, Think about it. If God's given you a gift, you use it for a while and then chuck it. That gift could have been multiplied to 10 different people while you were using it. Now that's using your gift. So always train someone else up. Now, for myself, you know, I'm praying the Lord never leads me out of Slave Lake because I love pastoring here. But if he were to, I would raise somebody up before I left because I would want the gifts and the vision and the calling that God has here to continue. Always be thinking, who can I make like me? Who can I raise up? And I'll tell you, that's an effective way to live. Multiply your gifts. See, Jesus taught, empowered, and gave opportunity, and we can do the same. I want to begin to wrap up, but I want to say this about using our gifts fully. It is really all about obedience. If you've been given a gift and you're obedient with it, it means you're using it the way the Lord wants. Because he's the one who created you. He's the one who gave you gifts. So just start to use it, and in a way you realize, oh, I'm being obedient to him. You see, Jesus created us. He loved us and he died for us. He also wants to direct our lives. He wants to direct us in the ways that he has for us. He wants to give us strength and joy in what he's provided, and he wants to give us abundant, full life. If you're working in your gifts, you will be joyful. If you're working in your giftings, you'll love life. Well, that doesn't mean it'll always be easy, but you will love what your life is about. And guess what? All that abundance, all that life with Jesus starts with what we call the gift of salvation. What is the gift of salvation? We're talking about gifts, the greatest gift of all time, that gift that Jesus gave us. He came to the earth, he hung on a cross, he bled and died, his body was broken for you and I. He wanted you and I to be in relationship once again with the Heavenly Father, and because of sin, the relationship was broken. But I want to encourage you today. Easy to receive that gift of salvation. It's easy to be saved. Scripture says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. And so guess what? We're going to take an opportunity right now in this service where we use words. So I'm going to say a simple prayer that I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. It just lets you use words to say, Lord, I want to be forgiven. Lord, I believe in you. So if you'll close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me, I'm going to ask everybody to join. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen.